Romans 3, 24 through 26. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness because in his forbearance he had left his sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time so as just to be and one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. May God add blessing to the reading of his word.
In my day job, I work with trainers, and one of my responsibilities is to follow up with them if we get complaints about them. Several years ago, we got a complaint that a trainer had shown pornography in one of his classes. Well, my colleagues were ready to can him, but something I learned a long time ago is there's always two sides to any story. So I convinced them to let us find out the other side of the story before we acted. I emailed him, told him what we'd heard, asked him to fill me in on the other side of the story. Essentially, I was asking him to justify himself. And in that context, I think we all understand the word justification, or to justify. It was his chance to clear his name, to exonerate himself, to show that he had actually not done anything wrong. He had been accused, and this was his chance to clear his name. Did he really show pornography to his class, or did he have a reasonable explanation for what had happened? As it turned out, he did have a reasonable explanation. He was teaching a course on safety, and he was going to show a YouTube video about safety. One of the vagaries of the internet is that when you search, anything can pop up. Unfortunately for him, he had it on his projector, and everything he was searching for was seen on the screen behind him. And one of the options that popped up was wholly inappropriate. He was thoroughly embarrassed. He apologized profusely. He didn't play that video, but the preview picture must have been a doozy because the gal who called was mad as hops about what she'd seen in his class. I know this trainer fairly well, and I believed him. He successfully justified himself, and we put that incident behind him and moved on. I want you to notice the sequence of events there. He was accused. He was confronted with that accusation. See, the customer accused him. We confronted him. And he justified himself, and that changed the consequences and the whole nature of the thing. Last week, we began studying a paragraph in the Bible. It's Romans 3, 21 to 26, which many believe is the most important paragraph in the entire Bible. Some have said it's probably the most important paragraph ever written. The reason it is so important is that it explains how a righteous God can make unrighteous men righteous without compromising his own righteousness. Beginning in Romans 1:18, Paul started developing this thought that mankind is guilty of sin and worthy of God's judgment. And we've just worked our way through 63 verses that prove that man is guilty. God has concluded, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. If the text had ended there, we would all be sunk. We can thank God that it doesn't end there. Instead, he tells us how God has provided a means to save us from our sins and make us righteous in his sight. Last week, we learned that God does this apart from the law. In other words, we're not justified, we're not made righteous by keeping the law. God's way of making men righteous is separate from, different from the law. God declared that Abraham was righteous. Abram didn't have the law. His righteousness was not based upon his ability to keep the law. His righteousness was based upon the fact that he believed what God had told him. He believed God, and God counted that to him as righteousness. The righteousness of God is based on faith, not the law, and that's what we saw last week. Now, Paul will introduce us to three significant concepts, and I plan to devote a full sermon to each one of them. I'll tell you what they are. They're all lined up in this verse. The one is justification. Verse 24 says, we are justified freely by his grace. What is justification? What does that even mean? And we'll dig into that this morning. The next phrase is redemption. We read in verse 24, we're justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is given us in Christ Jesus. What does the word redemption mean? Next week, we'll dig into that. And then finally, we have the third concept, which is propitiation. Verse 25 speaks of Jesus Christ, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Not all translations translate it that way. I noticed that Garrett's didn't, and so he didn't have to stumble over that word because most people can't even pronounce the word propitiation, much less tell you what it means. So 2 weeks from today, we'll dig into propitiation, what it means and why it matters. So that's a preview of coming attractions. I don't often do that, but here's what we have laid out looking forward to in the weeks to come. For now, let's return to my story about the trainer who justified himself. Let's draw some parallels between himself and us. First, I said that he was accused of wrongdoing. In like manner, you and I have been accused of wrongdoing. In the opening chapters of Romans, Paul really clobbered us. I mean, he just didn't let up. Whether we are like the degenerate Gentiles he described in chapter 1, whom God has given over to the reprobate minds, that just sounds horrible just to say it, or whether we think we're comparatively moral, like the moralizers in the first part of chapter 2, or whether we hide behind our works and our self-righteousness like the Jews did in chapters 2 and 3, Paul has confronted us with our sins. He has said that we are guilty. Can we justify ourselves? How do we do that? And the answer to that question, can I justify myself, is no, I cannot. Neither can you, because we are guilty. But God can do what we cannot do, and that's what we're going to see this morning. God can justify us. So this morning we'll look at the word justification. I want to show you three things. I want to show you the meaning of the word, the meaning of justification. I'll show you the nature of this justification, and then we'll look at the basis of this justification. In my story about the trainer, I think we all understand the context and the meaning of justification. He hadn't done anything wrong. He was able to prove his innocence, and the charges that were brought against him were essentially dropped. He was without blame, and he could tell us he was without blame. And that's where the comparison breaks down, because we're not without blame. We're, every one of us, guilty of wrongdoing. If that's the case, then how can God say that he has justified us? Well, let's start with an understanding about the word that Paul used. Whatever it's worth, you know, I never know whether to try and say Greek words from the pulpit or not. Some people like to hear it. Some people think, well, why does it matter? Well, the word is dikaiō, and it's used 39 times in the New Testament. Of the 39 times that word justify is used, Paul uses it 27 of those times. The next most common usage is from Luke, and Paul uses the word 15 times in the book of Romans. I say all of that to say this. That was an important word to Paul. More than any other writer of the New Testament, Paul likes to talk about our justification. It was an important word to him. The word itself simply means to declare righteous. To declare righteous or not guilty, to acquit. So when the Bible says that we've been justified, what it's saying is that God has declared us righteous, or he has declared us not guilty. This is a legal declaration. Theologians like to call it forensic justification. So if you like theological terms, you want to impress somebody with that at your family gathering tomorrow, tell them that you have been forensically justified. Forensic righteousness. I have forensic righteousness. And all that says is that it's a declaration, a legal declaration by God. I can read you an example of how this works from the Old Testament. This is Deuteronomy 25. You don't need to turn there. I'll just read it for you. This is verse 1. Deuteronomy 25, verse 1. If there be a controversy between men, and they come into judgment, that the judges may judge them, so one accuses the other of something, they come to the court of law for the judges to decide, then the judge shall justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. This is a courtroom setting. One person has accused someone else of doing something, so they come to the judge to let the judge decide. The judge weighs the evidence. If the evidence is that the accused is not guilty, They are to justify him. And what that means is they're to declare him not guilty. If, however, the evidence says that he is guilty, they are to condemn him to his punishment. And then it goes on to describe the punishment could be a beating, and it should not exceed more than 40 stripes. By the way, you've always heard that Jesus was beat with 39 lashes. The Jews never beat somebody with 40 lashes. They beat them 39 lashes in case they miscounted. And that way they wouldn't exceed 40 lashes, because the law was very clear that you can't not give a man more than 40 lashes. What's going on in this text is the judges are weighing the evidence. If the man is not guilty, they justify him, meaning they declare him innocent. They say, not guilty. This is a legal declaration. Their declaration does not make that person righteous. They're declaring him just because the evidence suggests that he is just. On the other hand, their declaration that the man is guilty does not, I mean, that's not what made him guilty. What made him guilty was what he had done. It's a legal declaration. When God says, or Paul says in our text, that God has justified us, what he means is that God has declared us righteous. He has said that you are not guilty. That's the meaning of the word justify. Now let's move to the nature of this justification. I want to show you a few things about the word in our text. Paul says we're justified freely by his grace. That word justified is a present passive participle, and here's why that matters. Present tense means this is not something that's off in the future, it is a present reality. I'm not looking forward to being justified, I am justified, is present tense. It's passive voice. What that means is I did not justify myself. God did the justifying. So this is something I could not do, it's something God could do. And Paul indicates that God took the initiative, and he did. Another thing I want you to see about this justification is that it's given freely. We've been justified freely. I'll drop another Greek word on you. It's dorion. That's the word that's translated freely. It's interesting to see how that word has been translated elsewhere, because the way it's translated elsewhere kind of informs our understanding of what it means here. So let me read you a few examples. This is John 15:25. Jesus said, they hated me without a cause. Without a cause translates the Greek word dorion. Well, let's read it that way in our text. We are justified without a cause. And what that means is there was nothing in me that God could say, well, because you did that or you didn't do this, you're justified. There was no cause in me that God would declare me righteous. Here's another way it's used. This is 2 Thessalonians 3:8. Paul told the Thessalonians, we did not eat anyone's food without paying. The phrase without paying translates dorion. Well, read it into our text. We're justified without paying. That's a wonderful truth, isn't it? It's not that my justification was free, but it was free to me. I didn't have to pay for it. One more. This is Revelation 22:17. It says, let the one who wants to take the water of life free of charge. Free of charge translates dorion. We are justified free of charge. Again, our justification was not free. It came at a terrible cost, but it was free to us. So I'm justified now. This is not a future thing. I'm justified by God. It's not something that I did. I was justified freely. And notice the next thing Paul says. We're justified freely by his grace. And there's one of my favorite words in the entire Bible. The Greek word for grace, by the way, is charis. I've known a few girls who've been named charis. And I think that's a wonderful name. And the parents who named one particular, I know the reason they named her Charis is because they love the word grace in the Greek text. And so they named her Charis. It was a very common word in the first century when Paul was writing. The Greeks liked this word, and they used it to describe things that delight, things that bring joy. They used it to describe the favor of the gods. They used it to describe the favor of the ruler. If the king did you a favor, the king was extending grace to you. Christianity took that same word, and it means all of those things, but we changed it. I mean, it still means what delights, what brings joy, the favor of God, the favor of men. But the way Christians, we kind of gave it a significant twist. What we did was we said that God does all those things for us, and they're undeserved. See, maybe when somebody was kind to me, it was returning something I had done for them. They felt obligated. God is not obligated to us. If you've heard the expression unmerited favor, that's the word for grace, as Christians use the word grace. It's not just doing something kind for someone else. It's doing something kind for someone else who did not deserve for us to do that kind thing for them. That's what God has done for us. We're justified freely by His grace. And all of this tees up that big question. The big question is this. Paul has just spent 63 verses telling us how guilty we are. You're guilty, guilty, guilty. And now he says, all of a sudden, God, in His grace, says, you're not guilty. How can He do that and still maintain His righteousness? Isn't that a little bit like a judge ignoring the evidence, the verdict of the jury who has found this criminal is absolutely guilty, and the judge just ignores it and says, ah, nah, he's not guilty? Is that what God did? Where is the justice wherein God can just suddenly say, guilty? Nah, you're not guilty. That's the great question that every religion has to answer. Because if God is good and man is not, then how can man stand before a holy God? And this is what separates Christianity from all other religions. All other religions answer that question. How can a sinful person stand before a holy God with some kind of works answer? You do good works. You keep the law. You love your neighbor as yourself. You pray 5 times a day. You fast ever so often. You do this, you do this, you do this, and you can be justified before God. Christianity, on the other hand, comes along and says, nope, none of that matters. We're not justified by sacrifices or good works or self-denial. We're justified by, and this leads to the third point of my message, the basis of our justification. We've seen the meaning. It means to be declared not guilty. We've seen the nature of it. It's something God did fully and freely by His grace. Now let's look at the basis of our justification. How could God do this? Verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. If the question is, how can God declare guilty sinners not guilty? The answer is the cross. That's it right there. The redemption that's in Christ Jesus. The propitiation through faith in His blood. I'm justified because of what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with Him. On the gotquestions.org website, they had a nice article about justification. I'm going to quote from it. Justification does not excuse our sin. It does not ignore our sin. It does not endorse our sin. Rather, our sin is fully punished. Christ has taken the penalty for us. He was our substitute. Because the wrath of God is satisfied in Christ, we are free from condemnation. And God remains fair and just, and he makes sinners right in his sight when they believe on Jesus. A righteous God is able to make unrighteous men righteous without compromising his own righteousness, because the price his righteousness demands for sin was paid on the cross. That's how God can look at me and say, "You're not guilty." That's a legal declaration. You're just in my sight because of what my son Jesus Christ did on the cross. Justified freely through his grace. So what do you do with a message like this? Well, first, if you have never been justified, you need to be. You cannot justify yourself. You need a Savior. You need a Savior who took that punishment for you on the cross. You need the one on whom God poured out his wrath for sin, the one who fully paid the price for sin on your behalf, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's what you need to do. And then God can declare that you are not guilty because Christ took the guilt and punishment for you. Second, if you have been justified, then thank God and praise him for it. Our lives should be, if we understand what this justification thing is, our lives should be a constant praise to God. Our hearts should be constantly soaring in his presence. God, thank you for saving me from my sins. Third, if you have been justified, act like it. Paul told the Ephesians to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith they were called. God bankrupted heaven to justify you. He sent his very best, his own son, to die on the cross for your sins, for my sins. It's incumbent upon us to live like it. If God did that for us, how can we do any less for him? And finally, if you've been justified, let others know that they too can be justified freely by his grace. There are others he'd like to justify. They need to hear the gospel. They need to hear the message of justification so they too can believe and be justified by his grace. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this great truth of justification. Thank you that though you have proven time and again that we don't deserve this, that we are guilty sinners, you loved us and provided a righteous way whereby you could make us righteous without compromising your righteousness. Now may we, by your grace, live like those who have been justified. May we demonstrate that justification in the way we live our lives. Call us to greater levels of service and surrender for Jesus' sake and in his name. Amen.